Teisha in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in above the Metzia Das Samok Test. We're learning today Lilu Nishmas Grace Rosenzweig, Gituleya Bas Ari Leib, and Moshe Hammer, Moshe Yitzchok Ben Yosef Ben Yamin. All the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for all the Kochos Tzahal. They should be successful. We should bring back the Chatufim Ben Hera, and Be'ezes Hashem, there should be Shalom and all of Klai Yisrael, and all those in need of Refuah Shleimah should have one Ben Hera. Okay, we pick up on the Gemara Samok Test of an Aleph. About 9 lines down from the top with the words Amar Rav. Rav tells us the following halacha. Mosar shalish bitzkarecha. You have Reuven who's going into a heter iska type of a relationship with Shimon. In other words, Reuven is going to supply the money up front, and Shimon is going to go and take care of the deal. He's going to go and run the show, and they'll split the profit. So one of them is putting in the money, he's the financial backer, and the other one manages the business. So Rav says that in this situation where Reuven tells Shimon, listen, you're going to be a 50-50 partner with me, which we said is a ribbis concern unless he gets paid also for taking care of Reuven's share. It's one thing if he's taking care of his own share, but he's also then taking care of Reuven's share, the 50% that Reuven owns, and therefore this would be a ribbis concern unless he gets paid. So in this scenario, Rav is saying that it's acceptable for him to say, if you make a significant profit, such as you make anything above one third of the actual amount that we put in, so then you'll retain all of that profit. Most or shlish, anything you make in more than a third, so then that is your reward. So that's great. If you make that third, then wow, you're going to do great. You're going to get all that 100% profit. But if you don't make a third profit, so then you get nothing. So Rav says, Hareza Mutter, this type of relationship is perfectly permissible because the person is getting paid. He's only getting paid if they make a certain amount, but that's something that he's going to be very interested in. He'll work very hard, he'll do well, and therefore he'll then get it paid even more than he would if he just got a set amount. So therefore, Rav said this is perfectly good. On the other hand, Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says, no, unacceptable. Shmuel amar lo motza moser shlish, because in this situation, if the business doesn't make a third profit, then yelech lebeis reka, the guy goes home empty-handed. And therefore, it's a ribbis concern because he did all this work and Reuven got the benefit of it. He gets his money back, plus he's getting the benefit of having him work for free. That's ribbis. So therefore, Shmuel says, el omar Shmuel kotzeis lo dinar. In addition to saying that he's entitled to the moser shlish, he also has to be paid a set amount, at least a dinar. So now it's a dinar. That's his wages. No, he has an opportunity to make even more. That's fine, but at least he's getting a dinar, and therefore it's not a ribbis concern. So the Gemara questions this and says, no, Rav, Shmuel seems to be saying perfectly correctly. Besova Rav ain't kotz lo dinar. Does Rav really hold that you don't have to give him a dinar? It's enough to just say you get the moser shlish, and if it works out great, you make a good profit, you do great, and if it doesn't, you go home empty-handed? Is that really true? V'ama Rav, reish egla lipatoma. Rav had said in a similar deal, where Reuven had given over his animals to Shimon to go and take care of them, and he said that you go raise the animals, fatten them up, and make them to the point where they can be sold, and we'll split the profit. So again, you have here Reuven putting in all the money, and Shimon, the herdsman in this situation, being the one to go and take care of the actual work. So therefore, this would be something that would be forbidden, even though it's a 50-50 partnership, unless Shimon got paid for his work. And Rav had said, Reish Eglo Lefatuma, you will get, in addition to us splitting the animal 50-50, you'll get the entire head, which is not a huge amount, but is something. So aren't we saying over here, my love, the Amalei, isn't this, and this is the question on Rav, isn't this where he was told, the Amalei, either you can get Mosar Shlish Bischorecha, plus you'll get the head. And therefore, the Mosar Shlish alone wouldn't have been enough. Isn't it that he gets the Mosar Shlish plus the Reish Egla Lipatuma, and therefore this is exactly like Shmuel said, that you can get the Moser Shlish, but you also get Kotzis Lodina. So doesn't Rav hold exactly like Shmuel? So he says, no, that's a misunderstanding over here. In this situation, lo, the Karma Alei, Rav had said that the Reuven, the owner of the money, the owner of the animal, had said to Shimon, the one who is the shepherd, going and taking care of the animal, he said to him, you have your choice. E Moser Shlish, E Reish Egla Lefatuma. You have one or the other, but you're not getting both. So pick which one you want. You want to take your chances and take the Moser Shlish, Gesundheit, that's yours. But if you want to play it safe and just take the Reish Egla Lefatuma, so then that's fine. Either way, but you only get one of the two. So Rav Lishitasu, it says that the Moser Shlish is fine. That's Teretz number one. The boy is saying on Teretz number two, in this scenario, Ki Kama Rav, Moser Shlish, Biskor Chamuter, when Rav had said that the case that you're allowed to go and say, you'll get only the moser shlish, but you won't get anything else. I don't have to be kotzei sigul dinar. I don't have to give you anything else. That's kigon. That's stoimah scenario. The islay behemol l'diday. That is when the shepherd has an animal of his own to go and take care of. And therefore, people say, the Amr Yitzhak, the popular aphorism is, Gabil le Torah, when you're going and mixing the food for one ox, Gabil le Torah, you can go mix the same food for several oxen. You're turning the water and the grain together, you're mixing it together. So what they're going to make, if you're doing it for one ox, you're doing it for two oxen. It's not a lot of extra work. And therefore, in this scenario, where Shimon is anyway taking care of his own other oxen, so then it is acceptable to say moser shlish. You'll only get a moser shlish because, after all, you're not really doing a lot of work for Reuven, the one who supplied all the money. And therefore, that's why it's acceptable. Maisa Shoya, Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya Zovim Behema. Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya bought an animal, V'yov Le La'arise, and he gave it over to his Aris, the one who's taking care of his fields, to also go and raise this animal, again, in an Iska type of relationship, a 50-50 relationship that they would accept 50% of the profit, and 50% of the loss, potentially, would be borne both by Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya, who's the equivalent of the Reuvens that we've been talking about, and the Aris over here, the sharecropper of Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya. He's the Shimon. So here we have this, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya is supplying all the money. The Aris is doing all the work, and they have a 50-50 relationship. Now, Mefatimlai, he did this. Shimon did this. The Aris did this. Now, V'yov le'resha bi'igre, and Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya gave this Aris, this Shimon in our situation, he gave him the head of the animal. Oh! V'yohiv palgo ravcha, and whatever profit they made on the animal being fattened up and then being sold, so they split it 50-50, as was their arrangement. Oh, exactly what we had said is perfectly acceptable according to Rav. Now, Amalei Devisu, the wife of this Ari, said, wow, you got half of the profits and you got the head. Next time, imishtatzvis bahadei, if you'd actually become a partner of Elazar rather than just being his sharecropper and the shepherd, Yahiv La Nami Alisa. If you'd become a real partner with him, not only would you get the head, he would give you the tail also. The fatty tail of the sheep is a good thing to have. So therefore, go and become a part with him. So that's exactly what the sharecropper did. He said, Ozil Zavid Badei. So he and Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya each put up 50% of the cost to buy an animal, and this sharecropper then took care of the animal. Baruch Hashem, the animal grew up, they sold the animal, and polig le me alisa. While the sharecropper expected it, his wife had suggested that, well, if you do a good job, not only will he give you the head, because now you're a partner, he'll give you also the tail. So he was expected to get the entire tail, but instead, polig le me alisa. So Rabbi Elazar divided up, they split the animal's profits, so Rabbi Elazar kept half of the profits of the animal, and he kept half of the tail, and he gave the other half of the tail as appropriate, 50-50, to the Oris. Now, fine. The Oris said, okay, he's not going to be nice. He's not going to give me the entire tail. No, at least give me the entire head. Amalei, ton nifle geleresha. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya said, okay, now we're going to split the rest of the animal, and we're going to split the head 50-50. So this Oris was very upset. So Amalei, he says to Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya, hashda kimei kare nami lo. Last year, when I was not a partner with you, when I was the sharecropper alone, I got the entire head. And now, you're splitting everything 50-50? I'm doing worse by being a partner to you? I was off much better off by being the Aris. So I'm late. Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya says, exactly, 100%. When you were the Aris, ato idna zuze di dihavu. When you were just the Aris, so then it was all my money. My capital was the one that bought the animal. And therefore, ilo havo yehivna lecha tfei purta. If I hadn't given you something a little bit more than the 50-50, in other words, to pay you for your work on my behalf, so then, merci ribbis. It would have been a ribbis-like situation. It would look like ribbis, even though it was a 50-50 iska type of relationship. But I have to pay you for taking care of my 50% of the animal. And therefore, that's why you got the entire head. However, hashta, now, this year, shutfi anon, we are both partners, equal partners. One partner doesn't have to give the other partner anything for taking care of his share. That's what partners do. We are partners. It's not a loan. We each put in 50% of the capital. So, my comments, what are you going to tell me? That you're entitled to the entire head and the entire tail? No. Torchana tve purta. Yeah, what are you going to say? You worked a little bit harder than I did. We each were 50-50 partners, but you also did the work. As the herdsman? No. Army entry. People say that's not a problem. In this situation, you're also my Aris, though. Stam Arisa. And the typical responsibilities, if you wish, of the Aris, Lumari Ara, to the one who owns the land, is Komishabed Nashe. You are basically in my employee and expected to do certain things, such as Lasuyi Le Raya. In other words, to go and find free food for the animals. In other words, to go help the animals out to a good place to pasture. Rather than I should have to buy the food for them to eat, you take them out to a place to pasture. So that's a typical job of an Aris. So you did your typical job of an Aris, what's expected of an Aris in this situation, by pasturing the animals. So therefore, you're not going to get paid for that. That's part of your job as an artist. And therefore, we're 50-50 partners over here. You put up half the capital, I put up half the capital. You're taking half the risk, I'm taking half the risk. You're taking half the profits, I'm taking half the profits. And therefore, there's no ribbis concern. This is not a loan, we're partners. And therefore, you're not entitled to the tail, certainly, and you're not even entitled to the head like you were previously when you were just an artist and you were not a partner. And then I have to pay you in order that you're taking care of my share. It shouldn't look like ribbis. Okay. But this is in accord with Rav's statement that he gave him the head of the animal only. Okay, at least when he was an oris. Tanur Banan, the following brayso, Hashom Behema L'Chaveiro. If they want to have this partnership where Reuven supplies the animal and Shimon is going to be the shepherd taking care of the animal, so they evaluate what the animal is worth. Hashom Behema L'Chaveiro. So Reuven evaluates this animal that he bought and he gives it over to Shimon to go and raise it. So, and they do a 50-50 relationship over here. So they'll each share 50% of the profits. If there's a loss, they'll share 50% of the loss. Admasei Chayiv L'Tapo Bo. What is the normal expectation for how long Shimon, the shepherd, is going to go and take care of this animal? To what point in time are they expecting Shimon to take care of the animal before they go and sell it? Shimon obviously wants to sell it as soon as possible. And Reuven wants to sell it when it's the maximal value. So the more it grows, the more he'll sell for it. So it's no skin off his back to have it work longer. And according to the herdsman, to the shepherd, well, he wants to sell it as soon as possible because the more he has to work, the more he has to work. He wants to sell it and get a quick profit. So are there rules for this? So Gemara says, yes, Sumchus Omer. Sumchus tells us in the Braisa, when you're dealing with donkeys, basonos, the typical period of time that it was expected that the animal would be raised by the shepherd was Shmona Asar Chodesh. So you take this young donkey and you expect to raise it for 18 months. Now, this is something that we had learned differently in yesterday's year. We said in yesterday's year that you raise a baby donkey until it's able to carry the load. And once it can carry the load, the burden that it's expected to carry, so now it's able to go and be sold. So here we're giving a different number. These aren't numbers that are halachal Moshe B'Sinai. These are the typical expectations in these locales. So there may be different expectations, different locales, also different types of animals. Here not necessarily talking about a baby donkey. Here talking about a donkey that you wanted to mature more. In any event, the typical amount of Sumchus is 18 months. That's in regards to donkeys. But Godros, Rashi explains that Godros are animals that are behema daka, Rashi says. Godros, behema daka, is lotion of Gidros Tzon, like we have in the Pasuk in Bamidbar. So this expectation for the small animals, goats and sheep, is that they'll be raised and pastured for 24 months. Chav Dalit Chodesh. Now, if the shepherd says, let's sell them sooner, the Imbal Lachlok Besoks Mano, for the donkey within the 18-month period of time, the shepherd says, enough, let's go sell the animal already. Or with these small animals, the goats and sheep, he says, within the 24-month period of time, let's go sell the animals now. So if the owner of the animal, the Reuven in my examples, is willing to do so, that's fine. But he says no. So then, that's the contract. Chaveiro ma'akev olav. Reuven, if he wishes to, can say, no, I want to have the donkey grow for the full 18 months. I want the goats and sheep to grow for the full 24 months. We'll get more money for them. And you can't force me to go sell them right now. Aval eino dome. And then it says a strange lashon. It says, but aval eino dome. It's not comparable. Tipula shoshana zu l'tipula shoshana cheres. And the Gemara is going to question this lashon of but right now we'll just explain it. But the care in the second year is more difficult than the care in the first year. You can't expect the care to be the same in the first and second year. So the Gemara says, now the girsa that we have is avol mai ka'amar, but it says on the side, the right girsa should be mai avol de ka'amar. What is this lashon of avol but? So Gemara says, you have to explain it in the following, that the avol means that this is the explanation why the shepherd can't demand that their partnership should end earlier. After all, the shepherd's going to get less also, so why can't he say, after 1 year, let's stop it. I don't want to do it for 18 months of the donkey. I don't want to do it for 2 years of the goat and sheep. Why doesn't he have the right to go and stop it sooner? Normally, when you have a partnership, each partner can demand to the other person they want the partnership to end. Here, why can't the shepherd demand that the partnership end before the 18 months or the 24 months are, respectively, for the donkey versus the goats and the sheep. Why can't the shepherd go and demand that the partnership end earlier? So Gemara says that's what the word avol ein lo dome means. Ella, it's explanation. Lefisha ein lo dome tipula shoshana zul tipula shoshana charis. Because the second year, when the animal is already bigger, it takes more effort to go and watch it, to go and pasture it. It needs more food. Maybe you have to go and take it further away. So there's more effort involved in that second year. So therefore, the shepherd can't say, well, listen, we did a partnership for the easier first year. Let's split the profits right now and sell the animal now. No, the relationship was for 18 months or for 24 months. So you can't say, well, I did the easy stuff. Now let's split the animal. No, you have to go do the hard stuff as well. And that's what it meant. Avol ein lo dome. That's because the second year is not as easy as the first year. So you can't go and break up the partnership if the first person doesn't want to. If Reuven doesn't want to, Shimon can't force him to go break up the partnership. Tanya Yidduch, we learned another bright. Again, Reuven evaluates an animal to go and give it to this 50-50 relationship with the herdsman, with the shepherd. So, Hashem Behem Lechaveiro, Reuven is the owner of the animal. He evaluates what the animal is worth, and he gives it over to Shimon to say, now we're going to go into this partnership to raise the animal. The animal gives birth. At what point in time do we say that Shimon can demand that we sell the vlados? Because he is not responsible for the vlados. He said, I'm taking care of the animal. No, these are the money that we're making. These vlados is what we're making. That's why I'm taking care of this animal, so we'll split the vlados. At what point in time can Shimon, the shepherd, go and say, I want to demand that we sell these vlados? Until what point does he have to take care of the vlados for free, and they can't go and sell them yet? So the Gemara tells us, the Brisa says, bidaka, with small animals like the goats and the sheep, lamid yom, for 30 days. Ubagasa, the large animals, like the cow family, Nun Yom, 50 days. However, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bidaka, with the smaller animals, Gimu Chadoshim. It takes a while to go and get them to the point where they can be sold easily. Mipnesha, Tipula, Meruba, because there's a lot of work involved. The Mepharshim bring down, and you have to go and feed the animal. Rashi explains that you have to go and give the animal food. It has small teeth. You have to go and be metapal with it quite a bit. And therefore, you can't go shinea dakos. It's mipnesha tipula meruba because there's a lot of work to do because it has small teeth. Vitzricha li'ima uli adam haragu b'kach. It needs its mother and it needs a shepherd that is familiar with taking care of such small baby animals. Now, Rashi just quoted the Gemara. My tipula meruba, what does it mean that it's a lot of work? Because it has these small teeth and you have to go and take care a lot of the animals. And therefore, that's why the shepherd wants to sell it sooner rather than later. But Reuven, the one who put in all the money, who owns the animal, can say, no, we're going to wait till the baby animals have reached a certain maturity in order to be able to go and sell them much more easily. Nu, mikan ve'elach. However, once you reach the period of time, according to the Tanakhama, the 30 days and the 50 days, according to the opinion of Rav Yossi, until it reached 3 months, so then, beyond that point in time, so they have the right to sell them. If they don't sell them, so then there's like a new business relationship over here. No to Master Shiloh. So the shepherd is entitled to go and get half of the profits already. Plus, he's now taking care of the other half for free. No, he's not allowed to take care of it for free because now it's considered like a loan. And therefore, he's entitled to v'chatzi merza b'shal chaver. And he's entitled to 50% of the Reuven, the owner of the animals, half in these vlados, because he's taking care of them beyond the point in time. So now it's like a new iska relationship with them, and he has to get paid for that, so he's entitled to half of the profits that Reuven had made. So therefore, anything going forward from now, those additional profits, the shepherd is entitled to half of them. Okay. Maisa Shoya, Rav Menashe Bar Gada, Shokal Mechza Shelo, V'chatzi Mechza B'sho Chavero. One time, Rav Menashe Bar Gada was the shepherd, put agreed to this relationship to go and raise his Reuven's animals. So Reuven was the owner of the animals. He came to Reuven Asher Begadah to go and take care of the animal, and they took care of them. The animals gave birth, and he took care of them beyond that point in time where he was expected to take care of them, and they were just split at 50-50. So therefore, he now took the half of the half that he was entitled to take that we just brought down for the Brisa. So Shokal Mechza Shelo, he took his own 50%, and then he also took an extra 50% of the remaining 50% because he was raising the animals beyond their expected time. V'chatzi Mechza B'shal Chaveiro. So the Reuven, in this situation, the one who would own the animal, wasn't happy that Reb Nasha Bar Gadra had taken so much. So also coming to Abaye, they went to Abaye to the Torah, said, hey, how come he took 50% of my 50%? So Abaye said to Reb Nasha Bar Gadra, nu, man pol agloch, who evaluated the animals at that point, we're allowed to go sell them, to say this was the Reuven's share, and this is my share. And now if I'm going to take care of his share, I'm going to get half of his profits. So who made that evaluation for you? You can't do that for yourself. You have to have a basis to do that. You have to have an appropriate evaluation by a third party to make sure that you're not cheating, because we don't know what those animals are worth. So you're saying, oh, you're entitled now to half of that profit. Well, who says what that animal was worth? You don't have an objective evaluation of that animal. That's point number one that Abaye told Reb Nasha Bar Gadra. Point number two, V'od, he says, Mokum shenogu l'gadlu. This place, you weren't entitled to go take half the profits. The custom in this place was you kept the animals and raised them until they were actually sold. And therefore, in this situation, you don't have the 30 days or the 50 days that the Tanakhama said, or the 3 months that Rav Yossi had said. And the custom in this place was you raised them until they were sold. And that was your responsibility. And we learned in a Mishnah that we're going to see in the Amud Beis, we learned over there, it says, Utnan, Malkum, Shinogu, Legado, Yagdilu. We're going to see there, we had added this previously as well, but we'll have the actual Mishnah on Samach Tesla with Beis. It says that if the custom was that the shepherd raised the animals to a certain extent, so then that's what you have to do. And here, there is no 30 days or 50 days or 3 months. No. Therefore, for two reasons. Number one, nobody objectively evaluated the animal. And even if they had objectively evaluated the animal, this was a place where you weren't entitled to that 50% of his 50%. So, therefore, Reb Nasha Bar Gadra was wrong. Another ma'isa show you. Hanu trei kusoi, there were these two kusim, one we'll call Reuven, one we'll call Shimon, and they did the iska relationship, this partnership, now with an animal with money. David iska ba'di adadi. Reuven put up the principal, and Shimon would go take care of it and do business with it, and they would split the profits 50-50, and Shimon would get some sort of a fee also for managing the relationship. Fine. No, the deal is going very well. They're making a decent amount of money, and Shimon decides to split the partnership. Ozil chad minayu polig zuze. So Shimon went, let's say, and split the profits, and he gave half to Reuven, and he took half for himself. Below died to the chabri, but without the knowledge of Reuven that the partnership was splitting up. Now, Reuven was unhappy about this. He says, hey, we're doing so well. Why are we splitting up the partnership now? Let's keep on going. Shimon said, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to take my money, and that's it. So they went to Din Torah, also coming to Rapapa. They went to Rapapa, and Rapapa said, why are you unhappy that the partnership is being split up? Are you telling me, my nafkamina, what's it to you? Are you saying over here that you didn't know that he was splitting up the partnership and therefore maybe it wasn't done properly? No. Hachim Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, again, Rav Nachman is the guru when it comes to financial matters. So Zuze Kiman de Plige Domu. This was a cash business over here. So therefore, the profits were $1,000. So he split it. $500 for you, $500 for him. There's no evaluation that needs to take place. This is $1,000. Cash is easily divided up. You don't need an evaluation. Here are the books. He said, here's a $1,000 partnership. We made this $1,000. You take $500 and I take $500. He doesn't need your permission. One partner can go and split the partnership against the will of the other partner without the other partner's knowledge, as long as it's done fairly. Here it was done fairly. The $1,000 profit, you got $500. You got $500. What's your problem? So Zuse came on the pligi dumbo because the money is considered already split. Doesn't need an evaluation. Nope. In any event, Reuven and Shimon, these two kusim, they're still friends with each other. And they're going to another business deal together. L'shana, the next year, Zovun Chamra Bahadi Adade. Instead of Reuven giving money to Shimon, he gave him wine. He gave him a barrel of wine. They bought some wine together. And Reuven was the one who purchased the wine. And Shimon would be the one that would go manage it and sell it in the stores. No. They did well. But this time, Reuven, the one who put in the money, who put in the wine, he said, I'm going to go and separate the partnership. I'm happy with the profit that we made. And he went and divided up the profits that they had. He kept half for himself. And he divided fairly, honestly. There's no cheating over here. And he gave the other half to Shimon. Now, Shimon is unhappy because he wasn't involved in the evaluation of the wine. So when Reuven, Kom, Idoch, and Poligle, when Reuven split it, the other guy was unhappy, and he took him back to Adin Torah, to Rapapa. So below Daitin the Chavri, because Shimon said, I didn't know anything about this, and it wasn't fairly evaluated. Maybe it's worth more than the 500 that he gave me. He took 500, I took 500, maybe it's worth 1,500, and he divided it up unfairly. So they went to Adin Torah, also coming to Rapapa, and Rapapa says, Amalei, man Poligloch, This time he tells Reuven, who gave you the right to evaluate it? Last year, when Reuven said to Shimon, who gave you the right to evaluate it? Reb Papa said, money is dividable, and therefore it doesn't need evaluation. And here, with the wine, Reb Papa goes to Reuven this time and says, you didn't have the right to divide it up without having it objectively evaluated. It. So Reuven is unhappy over here. He says, Amalei, Reuven says to Reb Papa, I see you're always against me. Kol Chazina, I see, it's clear to me that you're biased against me. The Basar Didi, Kol Asimar, you always go after me. In other words, last year when he split the money, you said it doesn't need an evaluation. This year when I split the wine, you say it needs an evaluation. So I'm Rapapa says, and we turn to some of Tesla base. In this situation, Ki I Gavna, have to be very careful. Vade Tzorich Lo Die. I have to go and tell him. The Top Tosus explains, Mashma, Dafka Hocha, only in this situation is the judge required to go and explain what he did. Lefi Shohaya Lo Piskom Pe Lechoshto, because Reuven Taka has a fair comment. He says, last year you said there was no need for an evaluation because I wasn't the one that evaluated it. But this year, when I'm the one that evaluates it, you say, no, there needs to be an objective evaluation. So there looks like Reuven has some real piskom pe over here that Reb Papa is not judging things accurately. And therefore, the taki is piskom pe lichoshto kamar. And therefore, the tzorich lo die. Therefore, Reb Papa felt very important that he should go and correct him. Mishum v'yisim nekiyim, mishum v'yisrael. Because there is this famous pasuk that says that you have to be clear. It's not enough that Hashem knows you're not cheating. People have to know that you're not cheating. So therefore, he went out of his way to explain what he did. And he explained to the Kusi Reuven. He says, Suze, when it comes to money, Mishakul Tave Vishavik Chasre, did he go in fact take good coins and give you the bad coins? No. And we either say the parentheses, we don't say the parentheses. So the parentheses says, Amalei, Reuven says back to my papa, lo. So, you know, he didn't give me bad coins. He split everything very fairly. Amalei, and Reb Papa says again back to this Reuven. Again, on the side of the Rashal says that the Mashal says that no, some aren't goris to parentheses. But in any event, makes no difference. Lani is dati. If you're goris it or not, it's the same meaning. In any event, Reb Papa says back to this Reuven and he says chama. However, with wine, kuli alma yode the iko de basim the iko de lo basim. When it comes to wine, not all wine is objectively the same. So in this situation, you split the wine. You took half the wine. He took half the wine. So you have to go and make sure that the two evaluations of the wine are the same, that your wine is the same as his wine. It may have been the same amount, but yours may have been a high quality. And therefore, he has the right to go and have it evaluated. And that's the difference between money and wine. And therefore, I wasn't going against you, Reb Papa explained to Reuven this Kusi. Said, I was just being fair. I followed the halacha in both scenarios. Now, let's go back and assess this a little bit more gufa. Whenever you have gufa, it means we're going to repeat a little bit what we just said. So, Amar of Nachman, Zuzei Kaman de Pligi Damu. We had explained where Papa had just split the money, and he said it doesn't need an evaluation because it's $1,000, $1,000. You get 500, I get 500. There's no potential for making an error. However, that's true. Now we go and qualify that statement of Rav Nachman. That's only true. Hani mili tave v'tave or tekule u'tekule. That's only true if the coins are exactly the same. Again, in our currency, we don't notice the difference. A $500 bill, whether it's crumpled or it's nice and crisp, it's the same exact amount of value. If you have a $10 coin and there's another $10 coin, we don't say, well, this one's a little bit heavier, this one's a little bit lighter. No, they represent $10 worth of money. So therefore, when you're giving tave v'tave, the exact good money against good money, or tekule, or heavier coins versus heavier coins, as long as everybody's getting the same, so then you're right, there is no need to evaluate it. $1,000, 500 for you, 500 for you, they're exact same coins. They're either good coins that are readily legal tender, or they're thicker coins, so therefore they have a silver, let's say, inside of them, or gold inside of them. So as long as they're all even, tavu v'tavu, tekule v'tekule, there is no problem whatsoever. However, you're 100% right. Avol tove utekule. If one person takes good coins and the other one takes the fatter coins, so lo, that's not allowed. Rashi says the other way around as well. One person takes the fatter coins, the other person takes the good coins. That's not an equal distribution. You need to have it evaluated to make sure that they're each getting equal value, and that would require an objective evaluation. Another case. Rav Chama havi moger zuze bipshito biyoma. Rav Chama had what he thought was a chop. He thought he was allowed to do what he did based upon a technical understanding of the dinim of rivers, but as we'll see, he wasn't. In any event, he would go and moger zuze bipshito biyoma. Rav Chama would go and take a zuz, what would be the higher value zuz, which was, we call the tzur, the zuz from tzur, and rent this coin out. He was very careful to say, I'm not lending you my coin, I'm renting you my coin, and he would rent it for a plain zuz, which is 1/8, Rashi says, of the tzur zuz. So in other words, he would take, let's put it into our modern terms, he would take $100, and he would go and say, I'm not lending you the $100, I'm renting you the $100, and give me 1/8 of it, plus the $100 back every day. So that's what Rav Chama did. Haba Moger, he rented his zuz, his tzur zuz. The pshita is the coin that's 1/8 of the tzur zuz, which is a regular zuz, every day. So in other words, he was renting his money. He thought that that was acceptable. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that Rav Chama lost all his money. Kalu zuze the Rav Chama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy that he did this. And as Rashi brings down, kalu letimo, he lost all of his money. As the Gemara is going to tell us in 2 days here on Daf Ayin Aleph, Shamalvin beribis nichsein mismotetin. If you go and do ribis, you think you're making money, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take your money away. No, Rav Chama lost all of his money. Now, why did he do this? Rav Chama's a big tzaddik. So who saw that Rav Chama felt, no, this is no different. When I'm renting my money, it's no different than if I'm renting my utensil. You'll have to go rent the utensil. You have a lawnmower, you'll have to go rent your lawnmower. So my shnor mimora, how is this any different than my spade? I'm renting out one of my tools. I'm allowed to go and take money for renting out my tools. So why can't they go and take money for renting out my money? The says, no, that was no good. The lohi, that's incorrect. Mara, when you're lending out your spade, number one, hadra b'ina, you get back the exact same spade. As opposed to money, money is given to spend. You don't expect to get back the same $100 bill that you gave him. You expect to get back $100. It could be $250. He'll give you whatever it is he's going to give you. So money is different than a mara. Mara, you get back the same exact thing. Furthermore, the idea pesacha, you can see, was there wear and tear on this spade? Did it depreciate? Did it go down in its value? So you can see, that's why you're getting the rental fee for it, because there's some depreciation. However, money, when you go and, quote, rent your money, suze lohadri benayu, you're not getting back that same money. The money is milvelot saw nitna. The money is being used to spend. He's obviously not just renting money to go and have money. And even if he is, he just wants to show people a line of credit. So he's not really using your money. Oh, look, I got this money. So they see he's a big rich guy. So therefore, they want to do business with him. No, even if he's not going to give you back different money, he's going to give you back the same money. Nevertheless, in this situation, you don't see if the money has lost anything. There's no depreciation of the money. So therefore, for these two reasons, you're not going to go and rent your money. That's called ribis. And Rav Chama thought he had a technicality over here that allowed him to do so, but he didn't. And he eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, he's such a great tzaddik that he made him lose all of his money, because it wouldn't be right if it got out the word that Rav Chama had done this thing, because it would have basically destroyed the ribis laws. Okay, Amar Rava. Rava tells us, Shari Leila Inish Lameh Malay Lechavre, a person is allowed to go and tell his chaver, tell his friend, Helach Dalid Zuz, they go and take these Dalid Zuzim. So Reuven goes and tells Shimon, here, you're getting 4 Zuzim, the Osve Liplanya Zuzim. Now, you go and lend Levi money. So you're getting 4 Zuz from me. Reuven is giving 4 Zuz to Shimon, and then Shimon goes and lends $100 to Levi and gets back $100 to Levi. But looking at it from the point of view of Levi, Levi didn't pay any more than he got. He got 100 and he gave back 100. But from Shimon's point of view, he lent the 100, he got back the 100 from Levi, but he also got 4 extra Zuz from Shimon. So this could be thought of as ribis. Reuven is giving the ribis to Shimon to lend the money to Levi. So Rava says that's perfectly allowed. Lo osra Torah, el ribis haba, milove lamava. The only time ribis is osra is if Shimon and Levi had the ribis over here. Shimon's giving $100 to Levi, and Levi gives him back 100 plus 4, that's ribis. But if Reuven goes, and out of the kindness of his heart, not that he had a deal with Levi, but out of the kindness of his heart, he says, I know Levi needs money. He says, listen, Shimon, go lend him money. Shimon says, no, I don't want to lend the money. He says, here's $4. Go and lend him $100. And he did it. So then, that's not called ribis, because Reuven gave Shimon the extra money and not the lovet, not Levi. Furthermore, of Yomar Rava, another Maisa Shoya, Shari Leli Yinish, Lameh Malay Lechabre, Rava said it's permitted for Reuven to go and tell Shimon, Shekol Loch Arba Zuzi, take these 4 Zuzim for yourself, and go, the Emor Le, Liploni, Laosvan Zuzi. So here, Reuven is giving 4 Zuz to Shimon to go and have Shimon go and tell Levi to lend Reuven $100. Now, this is not a ribbon situation as well. Why not? My timer. One might thought that Reuven is paying $4 in order to get the $100 loan from Levi. So ultimately, he's paying $104 to get $100 because Levi is giving it to him for $100 and he's going to give back Levi $100. But he also gave Shimon $4. So there is a appearance of ribbis over here. Rava says, no, this is allowed. Why? My timer. Because schar amira koshaka. Because Reuven didn't pay ribbis to Shimon. He paid him to go and secure the loan from Levi. So Shimon was like a middleman. You're paying the middleman. He's not involved in the loan at all. Levi, in fact, is giving the loan to Reuven. Now, why isn't this a concern? Because Shimon is not the one that's giving the money. And therefore, in this situation, all Shimon is doing is getting paid for doing his work. And as we see from the following story, it even works with the father and the son, as long as the son is not dependent upon the father. He heard the Abba Mar Birei de Rapapa. Abba Mar, that was his name. He was the son of Rapapa. And we've already mentioned previously, Rapapa was a wealthy beer salesman. And Havashakil Ugna de Kira Mikiroi, the son of Rapapa, this Abba Mar, would go and get a money, the equivalent of money, he would get wax from the wax salesmen in order to go and get their father to give them money. For Amar, these wax salesmen would give him a ugna de kira, a bowl of wax, and they would say, go and ask your father, ozifnu zuze, let him go and lend us money. So they would go to Rapapa's son, buy him off, so to say, and then he would speak to his father, Rapapa, to go lend the money. And this is permissible. So the rabbis questioned this, and they said to Rapapa, hey, do you know what your son is doing? Your son Mar is eating ribbis because you're giving a loan of $100 and you're getting back the $100 and your son is getting back wax. So isn't that ribbis? So Rapapa said it's not. Rapapa says this is perfectly acceptable. Call ki hai ribisa necho. Any ribbis like this is allowed to be eaten. In other words, this is not ribbis because lo asu Torah ela ribbis haba milo v'lamalva. If I were to get the wax from these wax merchants for my giving them the money, you're right, that would be ribbis. But my son, he's not me. He doesn't live on my table. He's a separate entity. Lo asu Torah ela ribbis haba milo v'lamalva. It would be also for me to get the wax, but my son, he's allowed to take the wax. He's not the one giving the loan. He's acting as their middleman to go and get me to give the loan. So that's perfectly permissible. He's not the one that's lending the money. I'm lending the money. I'm lending him $100. I'm getting back $100. There's no risk whatsoever. They're paying an extra four. That's for him to be the middleman for them to go and secure the loan. So that's not part of the loan. And he's my son. He's not me. He's a separate entity. He's not dependent on my shulchan. He's doing this to go make some money. He's a middleman. A middleman is not ribbis, and therefore this is perfectly permissible. Okay, we begin the next Mishnah. Shamin Parah v'chamor. We learned a lot of the first part of this Mishnah already previously. And this is that if, let's say, Reuven is going into a relationship with Shimon, where Reuven is going to supply the animal, and Shimon is going to take care of the animal, so then Shamin Parah v'chamor, you go and evaluate how much, let's say, that cow or that donkey is worth, v'chol davish v'osev v'ochel, but you can count against it. As we said, this would be a ribbis concern if the person who was watching now half the animal that's his, half the animal's yours. He's not allowed to watch his own half for free, but he's not allowed to watch yours for free. So we need to give him some compensation for managing this arrangement. However, if it's a cow or a donkey that can do work, the cow, you can plow with the cow, the donkey, you can carry stuff with it. So then you just have to give lemetza, just a regular 50-50 Iska relationship in this situation, and that is fine because he's getting the benefit of using the cow, using the donkey, and that's his payment. So again, that's a regular iska relationship that he doesn't have to get anything additional paid for him. In addition, if children are born from this cow or from this donkey, so then if the custom in that place is you sell them right away, so then you divide them up right away and they split it 50-50. However, if the place had the custom, if the place had the custom that this shepherd would go and raise those animals for either a certain period of time, like we'd said, 30 days, 50 days, 3 months, or for whatever period of time, so then you follow the local custom. Again, these aren't dinam d'araisa, these aren't dinam halach l'moshe m'sinai. These were, you follow the common custom in terms of these business relationships. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shomin Egel Imo Usiachim Imo. He says, similarly, just like if you have a cow or a donkey that you're giving over from Reuven to Shimon the shepherd to go and watch the animal, you don't have to pay him anything. So too, if he's watching a mother cow with its calf, or a mother horse with its calf, the baby horse. So then you don't have to go and pay additional for watching the baby cow or the baby source, the horse, because they'll follow along with the mother and there's no extra tirucha involved. So that's all really chazara. We had the first part of the Mishnah previously. Now we go to the new part of the Mishnah, which we'll spend the Gemara discussing. Umafriz al sodeyu. Some of the years, umafrin al sodeyu. Rashi points out both of them mean the same thing, that you're allowed to go and charge extra for. You can increase from a lashon of paru or revu. Umafriz al sodeyu. If Reuven had rented his field to Shimon, he's allowed to go and increase the rent. It's not a concern of ribbis, v'enuchoshesh mishum ribbis, under the following circumstances. The Gemara will now discuss what are those circumstances. So the Brisa starts off and says, Tanu Rabbanan, mafriz al sodeyu, again, mafriz or mafrin, similar idea, that Reuven, who's renting his field to Shimon, is allowed to change the terms of the rental midstream when he gives him a loan. Now, why is that not ribbis? So, mafriz al sodeyu, can you increase the rent on the field? The ein choshev shum ribbis, not a ribbis concern, under what circumstances? Ketzad. So, hasocher es hasode nechadero. So, Reuven rents a field to Shimon. Shimon is now the person using this field because he rented it from Reuven. Basara kurin chitin lishana. And the rental fee was they used to pay either with cash or they could pay with produce. So he's like a choker in this situation, that he's paying a set amount of produce for usage of that field. So he's paying 10 kurin, that's 30 saw per kor. So it's 300 saws worth of wheat for that year for the rental. However, Shimon needs to put in more money into the field in order for him to get the yield that he would like. He has to pay these 300 saw, and he would like that field to make a lot more than 300 saw. And therefore, for Omer Lo, Shimon says to Reuven, listen, lend me more money, 10 li mosayim zuz, lend me 200 zuz, and you know what I'm going to do with that 200 zuz? Va'afar nisena, and I'm going to go and improve the field. As Rashi says, I'm going to give it all of its needs, kol tzarcha. And this is, he will go and he will fertilize the field. The previous Rashi says, lezabel, and on the side it says, ulenache, shall weed the field, ulachrosh, and he'll plow the field, and he'll plant the field, and then he'll harvest the field, and he'll get a much more bigger bounty. If you lend me this 200 zuz, so then I will go and put it all into the field to make the field better, and in the field, instead of, let's say, making 600 saw, it will make 1,200 saw, and everybody's a winner in this situation. So he says, ten limosayim zuz, v'afar nisena, and I will go and improve the field. Now, that's perfectly fine if there's no ribbis attached to it. But he then goes and tells Reuven, I will now pay you, instead of the 10 kur lishana, v'ani ale l'cho shnei mosar kur lishana, I will now give you an extra 2 kur, an extra 60 saw worth of produce above the rent of 10 kor that I was supposed to give you. Is this allowed? Sounds like ribbis. And the Gemara says, no, Mutter, this is perfectly permissible. However, Avalino Mafriz lo achonos lo sfina. But you can't do the same thing when you're dealing with a store, and you can't do the same thing when you're dealing with a boat. So obviously we have to understand what's going on over here. This certainly sounds like ribbis. He's lending him 200 zuz. He's getting back in addition to his 200 zuz, he's getting back an extra 2 kors worth of wheat above their prearranged agreement for the rental. So why is that not considered ribbis? And why is it by a store or by a boat? It is considered ribbis. So what's the difference? So Rashi and the Mefarshim explain as follows. When he is taking this 200 zuz and he's improving the field with it, guess what? He has improved the field. Now the rental for that field is no longer 10 kor for a year. It's now 12 kor for a year. And therefore, that's not ribbis. That's called the improvement from the field. And therefore, that is not a ribbis payment. That is now an appropriate rental for this souped-up field, this better field. He took 200 zuz to go and make it a better field? Yeah, but he's benefiting as well, because now the yield from this field will be so much better. So therefore, this isn't ribbis. This is now an appropriate rental for the field, because he intrinsically improved the field. As opposed to a boat, if he were to do the same thing with a boat and say, give me 200 zuz, and then I'll pay you additional rental for the boat. Or you give me 200 zuz, and I'll pay you additional rental for the store. So the store or the boat isn't improved, and therefore that would be a pure ribbis payment. However, the Gemara then adds and says, under certain circumstances, even the store or the boat could not be a ribbis situation. Amar Nachman Amar Rabba Baravu. Rav Nachman said Amar Rabba Baravu that even sometimes Pa'amim Shemafriz Alchanos, that sometimes you could go and give additional rental for the store and it's not a Ribba's concern. Under what circumstances? Lotsur Batsura. If you were to go and improve the store, you make the store more beautiful, you go and paint the store, you put up all these beautiful pictures in the store, you go and make the store a more enjoyable place for people to shop. Rashi says it's going to attract more customers, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. And likewise with the boat, Svina, Lasislo Iskaria. You go and make a better mast, you make the boat have better clay Svina, Rashi says. So you're improving the boat. Now it can go faster. Now it can go without shaking so much. Whatever the advantages are, you've intrinsically improved it. So just like with the field, if you intrinsically improve the field is now able to be rented for more. So the Reuven is allowed to go and charge Shimon more, even though they had a prearranged price, because now the field has been improved. So too, if you improve the store, if you improve the boat, so now that boat is worth more, the store is worth more, you could charge an additional rate. Mafriz alachanus valasvina in these situations as well. And the more explains this a little bit more in detail. And it says, the chanus, the store, he said, if you go and improve it, latsur ba tsurasa, so that means that people will want to come shop there. People are not going to want to shop at a nice, beautiful store, right? You make a store, you refurbish the store, you put in better lighting, you put in new beautiful walls, and you expand it, and you have more room, so people like to go and shop there. So therefore, the store now can be rented for a higher price, and therefore that would be acceptable. Similarly with the boat, Svina Lasoslo Iskaria, because Kivun de Shapira Iskaria Tve, since you made the boat better, you put in a new engine, you put in a new sail, you put in a new mast, so then Agra Tve, so now the rental cost for this boat, instead of being a smaller, less impressive rental, now is a much more impressive rental. So in all of these situations, the underlying rule is if the item has been improved because of what you did to it, so then that's not called ribis if you go and pay more now for renting that item. Now the Gemara continues, it says, Svinasa, if you have a boat, so Amar Rav, Agra Upagra. Rav tells us that when a person rents his boat out, so he's entitled to get a rental fee for it, that's Agra, but also Pagra, he's also entitled, if the boat breaks down, to go and get paid the damages for the boat. So he gets both the rent, and if the boat is damaged, he gets the damages. Now, Omrulei, Rav Kahana, Ravasi, his star pupils, Rav Kahana and Ravasi, they say to Rav, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Agra, if he's going to get the rent, so then he shouldn't be entitled to get the damages because their potter, a renter is potter, let's say for onsin, a renter is potter for certain types of damages that occur, let's say listed mizuyin. So he's potter from onsin, and therefore he shouldn't have to go and pay the pagra, the damages. No, if he's making the deal that I'm going to get, you have to be responsible, I'm going to get from you for the damages, even if they're onsin, so then he's not allowed to charge rent, because in this situation, it's essentially a halva, and then if he charges rent, that's called ribis. So this is what Rav Kahana and Rav Asi say to Rav, and Rav doesn't have an answer back to them, shosik Rav. Now sometimes, when the Gemara says somebody is silent, shosik Rav, it can mean that, your question is not a good question, I'm not going to trouble myself to even answer the question. But here, clearly the Gemara means that Rav didn't have an answer. And if you see on the side, it says, go look in the Tosas above the Basra and Daf Samach Beis. So Tosas explains over there that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi didn't need Rav, so to say, to teach them. They knew quite a bit. They were just learning additional things from Rav. He was their master, he was their Rebbe, in teaching them certain types of svaras and certain types of learning of how to learn, but they knew a lot. So therefore, he was more like a Talmud Chaver to them to a certain extent, and therefore he would never have just not responded to them. And therefore, the Shosik Rav over here can't mean that Rav had an answer and he didn't feel that he should be bothering to have to go and answer these guys. He would have definitely answered Rav Kahana and Rav Asi if he had an answer. However, the Gemara says, Rav Shesha said, why didn't Rav say the following? Rav Shesha does provide an answer for Rav. I'm Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha says, my time is Shosik Rav. Why was Rav silent? He had a perfectly good answer that he could have given to Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. After all, lo shmiya leha de tanya, didn't Rav know the following brisa? Again, the Amoraim didn't necessarily know all the brisas. So Rav Sheshes phrased it in a very respectful way. Why didn't Rav answer from the following brisa? Didn't he know the following brisa? Even though you're not allowed to go and accept Tzom Barzo from another Yid to do a iska with. So Reuven gives Tzom Barzo to Shimon, and Shimon gets half the profits, and Reuben gets half the profits. So you can't do that if it's a guarantee, what we call tzom barzel. Tzom barzel we used to from a ksuba, that the woman brings in tzom barzel, the husband has to absolutely pay for those, whatever they're evaluated for, no matter what happens to them. If they go down in price, he still has to pay the original, let's say, $1,000 they were evaluated for, even though they're now only worth $500. That's what they called iron tzom, because that value is absolute. It doesn't change. So if Reuven goes and gives an iska to Shimon to go and run the business for them, and Reuven puts in all the capital, but he accepts no risk. He says, you got to pay me back my capital no matter what, and we'll split the profits 50-50. So then that's called the tzom barzel relationship. That is ribbis. You're not allowed to do that. But from a guy, you're allowed to, because as we've mentioned already many times, in regards to guy, there is no prohibition against ribbis. Fine. Now, Avalamru, here's the part that we're mostly interested. Hashom Parle Chaveru, if Reuven goes and evaluates this cow, so this cow's worth $1,000, he gives it over to Shimon to do an Iska relationship with him. V'yomer lo, and Shimon says to Reuven, Hare Paroscha Asuyo Alai Bishloshim Dinar, I'm going to go and evaluate your para as being 30 dinar, and if I don't return it to you, so then I owe you 30 dinar. If something happens to this cow, It gets a heart attack, it is stolen, and I don't return to you this cow, so then I'm going to give you 30 dinar. Plus, bani ala l'cho sela b'chodesh. Plus, I will pay you a rental fee of one sela for dinarim every single month. This is permissible. Mutter, the Bryce says it's permissible. Why? Lefi shelo asor domim. Because he didn't make the cow a tzon barzel. He didn't make the cow a set amount. Yes, it was worth 30 dinar, the Gemara is going to say, but it was only if he didn't return the cow. If he returns the cow, and let's say the cow's been devalued, and the cow's only worth 10 dinar right now, he can return the cow, and he doesn't have to pay him the shloshim dinar. That's going to be the question and answer that the Gemara now asks. Where says, lo asaw? You mean he didn't evaluate the cow? We just said it was evaluated for 30 dinar. So Rav Sheshes explains, like I just said, Amar Rav Sheshes, lo asaw domim mechayim. He didn't say that this cow is worth 30 dinar no matter what. In other words, if I return you this cow while it's alive, I don't have to give you 30 dinar. I just give you back this cow alive, even though it's now only worth, let's say, 10 dinar. It's only set at a value of 30 dinar if I don't return it to you. Elali achar misa. It's only if it dies, then I have to give you 30, even though the cow may now have only been worth 10. So in that situation, Rav Sheshes says, this brisa clearly shows that you're allowed to go and take agra, you pay the rental fee, but you also took upon yourself pagra. You also took upon yourself, if the cow doesn't survive, you'll pay him the value of the cow. So therefore, this brisa seems to be exactly like what Rav had said. But when you're renting out a boat, you get agra and pagra. So why didn't Rav answer from this brisa? How do we paskin on Rapapa? Rapapa says, Hilchasa, in regards to a svina, agra upagra. In fact, Rav Sheshes's support of Rav's din from this brisa is correct. And we, in fact, paskin that when you're renting out a boat, you're not only entitled to the rental fee, but you're also entitled to the damages. We turn to Daf Ayin Omen Aleph. This din that we just said, this is the halacha, the nagu v'nei kufra. The b'nei kufra actually says that the bali svina, the people that own the boats, why were they called b'nei kufra? Because kari b'nei kufra l'fisha zovsin osam b'zefis, because they would go put tar and pitch over their boats to make them waterproof, like we know with Noach with the Teva and by baby boy Moshe in the Teva. So they line them with certain things in order that the boat should be seaworthy, that the little bassinet or the Teva shouldn't go and sink. So it was the custom of the people that would sell the boats, that would rent the boats, v'nogu b'nei kufra agra b'shas mishicha. They would take the rental fee up front. And that was the custom. Normally we said the rental fee is paid at the end. But here, they would bedafka go and take the rental fee up front, so it shouldn't have any ribbis-looking appearance when they would then subsequently get pagra in case the boat devalued. So agra b'shas meshicha, however, pagra b'shas shavira. But they would then go and take the damages at the point in time that the damages occurred when they returned the boat. Well, they said, well, you damaged this, you damaged that, so it's another $50. So they would take the damages at the end. And this way, they took the rental at the beginning, so it didn't look like they were getting the rental back plus some additional payment, even though it was allowed, that would be mechzik ribbis. So Gemara says, wait a second, why is this not ribbis? Otu bibin hoga taya milsa, because this was the minhag to do this, you're allowed to take ribbis if that's the minhag. So Gemara says, no, mishum demasnisa tanya min hoga. No, because of the brisa that Rav Sheshes brought down, we see that this is allowed, and therefore, once this is allowed, so then this became the accepted custom that they would go do this, that they would take the rent up front, and then they would, if there was any damages, if there was any pagra, they would take that bishas shvira at the time of the return. There's a whole discussion between Rashi and Tosus and other Rishonim as to how you evaluate evaluated this damages. You evaluated at the time that the rental occurred or only at the time that the damages occurred. You look and see what the boat was worth at that point in time. That's not for our discussion right now, but there is this big discussion in the post on how you calculate these damages. But this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.